This is Soundside. I'm Libby Dankman, and I'm outside on a chilly evening in South Bellevue, where parents are filing into the cafeteria for an open house at Eastgate Elementary. Some people in blue Eastgate t-shirts cheer them on with signs declaring their support for the school. A crowd of kids has surrounded somebody in an eagle mascot costume. The Bellevue School District announced this month that it's planning to close 3 elementary schools because of declining enrollment. The district identified 7 schools it says are being considered for consolidation into other schools. Bellevue's total enrollment has dropped by more than 9% over the past 3 years. In a video presentation, Deputy Superintendent Melissa DeVita said the district has already tightened its belt, but it's not enough. Some schools are at 50% occupancy, and smaller schools are simply too expensive to run.
The question really comes down to, what is the priority in our school district? Is it the location of the school building or the services our students receive when they arrive at school? We cannot keep the same service levels in all of our schools if we keep the same number of elementary schools that we currently have and allow our enrollment to drop down as low as 200 students per school.
Ardmore, Eastgate, Enatai, Phantom Lake, Sherwood Forest, Woodridge, and Wilburton elementaries are being considered for closure. This school, Eastgate, is in a precarious position because of those 7, it's seen the largest dip in its student population in recent years. But parents here say not so fast. They say they're skeptical of the district's projections and wonder if officials have explored policy changes that could help balance enrollment across the district. Some have been organizing online and doing their own sleuthing into budget and demographic data. Nicole Hawley says she's ready to fight for her kids' school. In the meantime, she's deciding just how much to share.
I did tell my daughter. I gave her just enough information so that if something came up on the playground, she wouldn't be blindsided, that she had just enough. And since then, she has cried or brought it up on her own almost every single day. And even when talking with her brother, who has so many hopes and aspirations about joining his sister at this school, she pulled me aside and said, "Mom, I don't want you to tell Blake because I don't want him to feel sad." And I think that that's the thing that we keep seeing. We saw this activism in young people, and they're making posters and they're doing these bake sales and they're protecting their siblings, and that should not be their cross to bear. It feels unfair.
What are you hoping for out of this meeting?
I'm hoping for some clarity about what did they do to try to mitigate this. How open does it really feel like they are? Most of the parents that I talk to feel like this decision has been made by the district and that they are just checking the box to say that they heard families. And
you think that they already know the 3 schools they want to close?
I think that they've made it pretty clear. More schools than not kind of have a feeling that they are the ones that are highly targeted at this point in time. And when looking at the board meeting presentation about how they said, well, Eastgate families would go here, you know, and they were listing out some options, not once did it show students coming to Eastgate. So you aren't trying to save us at that point. And so I feel like it is hard to then feel like they had an open mind and that they were considering all options when that wasn't listed anywhere on. So I'm hoping that there is something that is said in our conversations that makes it feel like they are actually listening to our community, because our community is showing up. They're here. They want to share. They want to understand why and what next. And if there is truly any other options, then we'd like to know.
And can you just quickly describe what are we witnessing here? So there are people lined up with signs. Like, who are these folks?
So currently lined up is our amazing faculty. They are standing there with signs. Their spouses are there. Their children are there. Our students are there. We have community members. We have parents whose children are in college and high school and everything in between. They have been out there waiting for the last 35 minutes to come in. They are ready. They know that this is our one shot. I mean, the district has made it clear. You have 1 hour to prove your worth, basically. And so it is heartwarming to see, but it's also very bittersweet. Like, this shouldn't have to happen. And at least we came ready to play. I mean, they're ready to share what they have to say. So.
As 6 p.m. rolls around, Nicole and the crowd head into the cafeteria for the open house. Inside, it's organized kind of like a science fair. No speeches or presentations. Instead, the district has set up tables with informational handouts, and administrative staff circulate to answer questions. The Bellevue School District said I could attend the event as a member of the public, but asked that I not record the open house, so I'll recap what I saw and heard. At one table, I find a cluster of parents gathered around Deputy Superintendent Melissa DeVita, who's fielding rapid-fire questions. She points out that Bellevue School District is far from alone in facing enrollment challenges, though its declines are the steepest in the area. Nearby, North Shore, Shoreline, and Lake Washington school districts have all seen drops of 2-5% since the pandemic began. Seattle Schools has seen more than a 7% drop. And this has started to hit districts' bottom lines in a major way. Throughout the pandemic, the state of Washington offered something called hold harmless revenue, meaning they used pre-pandemic enrollment to calculate district funding levels. Not anymore. Fewer students means less money, and DeVita says Bellevue is looking at losing millions in funding. I watch the worried faces of parents gathered in a semicircle around the table. They're grappling with what the deputy superintendent is saying. She's talking about headcounts and funding formulas, but they're thinking about walking their second graders to school and how far the bus ride to Spirit Ridge or Somerset Elementaries could be next year. Some say they bought their houses here in Bellevue, a very expensive city, so they could be near this school. At times, a few voices get heated. The mood is tense. One parent wonders out loud, if attendance was such a problem, why did Bellevue open a brand new elementary, Wilburton, back in 2018? Wasn't that a bad financial decision by the district? DeVita counters, there was no way to predict the quintuple whammy of the pandemic. Bonkers housing prices, declining birth rates, the shift to remote work, and tech layoffs. And this brings up the question that I couldn't stop thinking about. What's the real cause of the problem? Just where are all the Bellevue students going? DeVita says there are a lot of contributing factors. Millennials aren't having as many kids. Fewer families are willing to pay sky-high Bellevue rents. And some Bellevue kids with parents on H-1B visas have had to leave the country. But that doesn't explain all of it. So far, census data indicates the city of Bellevue hasn't been losing K-12 aged kids. Yes, King County birth rates have been sliding recently, but that wave mostly hasn't reached kindergarten age. The Bellevue School District doesn't appear to know where all those 1,800-plus kids have gone over the last several years, or they're just not talking about it. Data on where students who leave public school land is murky, but it's clear more Bellevue parents are opting to send their kids to private school. Across the state, private school enrollment is up by a bit more than 8,300 students, about an 11% increase since 2019. We reached out to half a dozen private schools in the Bellevue area, and some said they had seen a significant enrollment jump in the past 3 years. Other students may be commuting out of the area to schools in Seattle or around the East Side. Over the course of the evening, I heard from a few parents who said they, too, were considering private schools. Some of them lean in to whisper like it was an embarrassing secret. They said they believe in public schools, but if Eastgate closes, it could be the last straw. But they also feel angry and ashamed about where that leaves other kids whose parents can't afford to send them elsewhere. As for what the Bellevue School District says about this shift, we don't know. I asked for interviews, but they weren't available this week. Meanwhile, the district says it is focusing on outreach to parents and community members. People with a lot of lingering questions, like Patty, who didn't want to share her real name. She moved to the Eastgate neighborhood so her kids could go to school here. Her younger daughter is in kindergarten.
I get it. They're looking at data, but are they also looking at what it means for the community, what it means for the kids? Are they purely looking at this from a numbers perspective?
As for those kids, some Eastgate students are taking things into their own hands. With their parents' help, second graders Lainey Goodwin and Desmond Walsh opened a cocoa stand last weekend to raise money to keep their school open.
Why did you raise money for Eastgate?
Because it's going to close down.
You were doing the cocoa stand too?
Yep.
And why were you doing the cocoa stand?
Just because we wanted to save our school. We don't want it to close down because only three have to close down. And if Eastgate's one of them, we don't want that to happen.
Bellevue families have limited time to register their concern about school closures. The district is planning to make a recommendation to the school board on February 9th, narrowing the seven possibilities to three schools that will close. There will be an extended public comment period during today's regularly scheduled board meeting, and that starts at 4:30 p.m. The board is also hiring a new superintendent and taking final action on that hiring and setting of their salary today. And the PTAs at the schools up for consolidation, including Eastgate, sent a letter to the Bellevue School Board this week. It raises important equity questions about whether the school closures will disproportionately affect Black, Latino, English learners, and low-income students. We'll have that letter on our website at kuow.org. You're listening to Soundside. Don't forget you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime right here online at kuow.org, or, of course, on your favorite podcast app.